Welcome to LifeBridge Online. Whenever it is that you are watching this, we are grateful that you are allowing us into your space. Whether you're sitting at home today watching this on the couch, or if you're driving down the road listening to this, we are grateful. I even had somebody say, you know, Sykes, I like to listen to you on the lawnmower. I'll take it. If anybody likes to listen to me, I'm going to take that as a victory for me. But we hope that these sermons, in particular the one you're listening to today, is a blessing to you and serves to minister you in some way, shape, or form. You know, every year we do a couple of sermons that center on our organizational statements. Vision statement, mission statement, definition of a disciple. These are statements that we have around our building, on campus, online, that direct us, remind us of what LifeBridge really is about. And I want to assure you that we hold fast to everything that we do having a biblical foundation, and that's no different today. So today, I want to share with you some verses that emphasize that as followers of Jesus, we are to be more than just churchgoers. We're to be more than just church activity doers. And we're to be more than just a good person. You know, hopefully at some point in time in your life, there was a conviction that came over you and you asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life. You asked Him to be in your life. And when you did, you were doing just that, making Him Lord of your life. You're saying, by bringing Jesus in, you're saying, Jesus, you have control of my life now. You call the shots when it comes to how I am to live. And so I say that because when I share these verses with you in just a few moments, truthfully, if Jesus doesn't have complete control of your life, then what we read today will not happen. Complete surrender is what Jesus asked when it comes to making Him Lord. So these verses, nothing new if you are a member at LifeBridge. Hopefully these are familiar to you. We do believe that repetition is key to learning, and so I hope that this is just one more installment of these verses becoming part of who you are as you hide these in your heart. So we start this morning with three verses from Paul's letters. I'm going to read them, and as I do, I want you to see if you notice what these three have in common. The first is Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. It reads, "Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him." Romans 8, 29. "For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son, so that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 24. "Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." So in these letters that Paul wrote to these churches, he points out that we are, did you catch it? We are to become like Him. Ephesians says that we're created to be like Him. These words, "become like," are a command to you and I as Christ followers. It's not a suggestion. It's not merely some good idea, but a command that requires our attention today. The command, "become like." This is a process, church. It's a process that is the journey of faith that Christ followers are on. That moment that you ask Jesus into your heart, that moment you come up out of the waters of baptism, this is the beginning of this journey of faith where you are to become like Jesus. Become like, this command, is something that happens over time. I'm 45. I've been a Christian most of my life, and Jesus is still working in my life. God is still working in my life to help me become like Jesus. I know what you're thinking. Sykes, you have a long way to go, and you're absolutely right. Become like is the Bible word for sanctification. Maybe you've heard that taught in Sunday school. You've heard that word before, sanctification. Sanctification is the progressive work of God to make a believer more like Jesus Christ. That's what this become like him is all about. It's sanctification, and it's the progressive work. It's the ongoing work of God in my life to make me more like Jesus Christ. Hey, check out these verses in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. You see, God begins this good work. He begins a good work within you, and he continues his work until it is finally finished when we are reunited with Jesus. Now, this work, it's not complete. It's not complete this side of being united with Jesus. Meaning, while we have the mental, the physical, the emotional ability, God is doing this work in our lives. We don't get to check out from this. We don't get to retire. This is not like, working in the Sunday school program or the nursery for 30 years and saying, you know what, I am done. This sanctification process, this progressive work that God is doing, is something that goes on throughout our entire life. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. You see, both God and follower have specific responsibilities. Paul commands believers to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God is the one who does the work of making us more like Christ. Now, I need to emphasize this. The working out our salvation is not working for our salvation. You know, Ephesians assures us that salvation happens because of God's grace and because of our faith in him. We are saved by his grace, but it is our faith that allows God's grace to come into our lives. So Paul tells us to continue working out our salvation with reverence, with respect, with fear. For God is working in us, don't miss this, for God is working in us to fulfill his good purpose. What's his good purpose? I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you're thinking the same way I'm thinking. His good purpose is us becoming like his son. You know, it doesn't matter what your life is like right now. It doesn't matter if you're locked in your house on quarantine, or it doesn't matter that if you're struggling with your job, or there's a breakdown in your family, or other things. No matter what is going on, God's purpose in your life is that you become like him. And he's going to use your circumstances. He's going to use the events, the day-to-days, of whatever it is that's taking place in your life to allow you to become like him. And here's the cool thing about this. This message, this what I've been talking about, this is the gospel message. The gospel of Jesus, which that word gospel is good news, it's a twofold message. You know, in the church, we're guilty of limiting the gospel to salvation through forgiveness of sins. That's certainly part of it, but that's not all that salvation is. Salvation leads us to becoming like him on this earth. We don't face completion until the reunion with Jesus. So we are saved, because of His grace, and God's desire is that during this life, no matter what our circumstances are, that during this life, we become as much like Jesus as we possibly can. That's the good news. That is the gospel. So hopefully you've seen through these verses that we've read that God is working in us. God does His part, but we too must do our part. I can't just stay here and say, okay, God, you just changed me into Jesus. I too have a part to play. I too must make efforts in order for me to become like Jesus. So as followers of Jesus, we're to be more than just churchgoers. We're to be more than just church activity doers. And we're to be more than just a good person. We are to become like Him. You know, this sentiment is what our vision as a church is all about. Our vision statement reads, "Bridging the gap between you and God." And that's certainly a play on words, being Life Bridge, being the River City, and having bridges all around us. That it's certainly that play on words. But this statement is all about you taking personal responsibility for your faith journey and drawing closer to God. You know, when this church was founded, it was done so on this very premise. Success is determined by the number of people actively desiring and personally seeking to become like Him. That's what we view and consider to be success. So the more people we have actively desiring and personally seeking to become like Him, the more successful we are. And I've said it and I'll say it again. I would rather have 100 people who fit this bill. 100 people who actively desire and personally seek to become like Him than 1,000 people who show up and listen to me every week. So, the big question on the table now is how? You know, that's going to be a sermon for next week, actually. So how do we become like Him if that is so much more than church attendance and church participation? How do we become like Him? And truth be told, we can do a sermon series answering that question. So we are going to designate next week to being the answer to this question of how. How do we take the steps to become like Him? So, I don't want you to leave empty-handed today. I don't want you to turn this off and think, well, hey, that was nice, Michael. Thank you for that. I do have something for you today. You know, Mark Twain once said, the two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you find out why. And I want to challenge each of you listening. I want to challenge you this week to examine your relationship with God. Examine your last year as a Christian. And can you identify how you've matured in your faith? Could you list out, hey, these are the things that God has done in my life where I have taken on the qualities of Jesus. These are the things that I once had these blind spots or these bad habits or this sin in my life, and in this year I've grown, I matured. Could you have a lunch conversation with someone today and tell them, hey, this is how I have taken on the nature of Jesus this year? Or what about the people closest to you? What about your family? What about your spouse? What about those people? Can they tell you how you have become like Jesus? See, this is the starting point. This is the starting point for us moving forward, is that we've got to identify, we've got to recognize, this is where I am. Or is your faith in with God, is it thriving, or is it more apathetic? Or is it more just ho-hum? The journey of becoming like Him is anything but ho-hum. The journey of becoming like Him is all about a thriving relationship with God. And so this is where we start this journey of identifying what God has done and what things He is doing in my life. And if you're struggling with this, I want you to think back to David. And you can do this simple exercise right here that King David did. You know, David is the man that David is the man who was known to be a man after God's own heart. But he was still a flawed man. He was still a man of great sin in his life. And later on into his life and his relationship as king, he prayed this prayer. He said, "Lord, search my heart. Reveal to me anything that doesn't honor you, that anything that does not honor you, and lead me into the everlasting." If you're struggling with identifying what God is doing, will you pray that prayer this week? Will you pray to God that, hey, will you reveal to me, Lord, things that don't honor you? And jot these things down. Write them down and take note of these things. So I want to challenge you. Be like David. Pray. Ask friends. Ask people who are close to you. Tell me blind spots in my life that do not honor God. And next week, we're going to get into this, how we become like Him. As always, church, you guys need anything, reach out to your life group leaders. Reach out to our church office. Reach out to me if you need anything. Love you all. Can't wait till we're all back together again. Have a great week.